This is our day to shine. And there is one truth, one great truth. Sometimes we get together at Become New. Things might get kind of dense, complicated, take a while to unpack. Not today. A single thought might be the clearest expression of the actual gospel that Jesus himself taught in the Bible. It's from Paul. He's running the church at Philippi. How would it shine like stars in the sky? And it's actually a particular phrase. He's writing here, pleading with Yodi and Syntyche to be of one mind, to be united, and then encouraging the people who are there to come alongside and help, and then rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. And he goes on. But the phrase that I want to live with today, camp out on, is just this single phrase, the Lord is near. It's very, very simple. Although, as we'll see, there are two dynamics that need to be at work in order for me to access it that might block me. But really, the basic message of the Bible from the beginning is the offer of the with God life. God wants to be present with us. He did in the garden. He did with Abraham, I will be with you. You will be my friend. He did with Moses. He did with Ruth. He did with Joseph. He was with him in prison. He was near to him when he was enslaved. He was near to Jacob when Jacob was wrestling with him. And Jacob said, after I'm a place, name this place Bethel, the house of God, because surely the Lord was in this place. He was near. And I almost missed it. And we can miss it. The Lord is near. Now, how is the Lord near? Well, the Lord is near in beauty. The Lord is near in his creation. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The Lord is near in people. Now, we start to think about, how will I experience God today? Whatever you do for the least of these, you did for me, Jesus says. I was much nearer to you than you thought. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I was walking here today, and a woman stopped me. This is a place of great beauty, and so that's why I wanted to come here. Just this phrase, the Lord is near, the Lord is near, the Lord is near. Woman stopped me and said, are you John Arpering? And I said, yeah. And she said, her husband, whose name is Kurt, that's all that I'll say there, but he watches Become New. Sometimes he shows her these videos, and so she recognized my face, and she just wanted to stop me and to say something that was real encouraging. So, hi, Kurt, and thank you for the matrimonial encouragement. And in my preoccupation, got to keep this stuff in my head, what am I going to say? To pause for a moment, to be interrupted and say, now, God is present uniquely in each person that bears his image. And here is somebody who's bringing a word of encouragement to me, and it's so easy for me. The Lord is near. Where is the Lord near? Wherever you are. In each place, and then the next place, and then the next place. When is the Lord near? In every moment. In this moment right here. In this moment right here. The Lord is near. It reminds me, because Paul just throws it in there. You know, help these women, be of one mind, rejoice in the Lord always, let your gentleness be made known. He's going to go on to anxiety. We'll talk more about that. The Lord is near. And it reminded me, you might know, several decades ago, advertisers actually would try during movies or going up to movies to interrupt them real briefly with what were called subliminal ads. And the idea was just put up there, gotta have popcorn, some message like that, or go buy a soda. And that if you could just do it real fast, people hardly even be aware of it, but they would just find themselves doing it. Now, my dissertation advisor, Rich Gorsuch, great social psychologist, said it turns out there's actually debates amongst social scientists as to whether or not such a thing as subliminal messages can work as advertising. But what I want to say is, Frank Lubbock talked about how the mind is an oscillating thing. It's just going like this all the time. And it's almost like for Paul, this thought would just recur, the Lord is near, the Lord is near, the Lord is near. And he just throws it in there. So the invitation today is, Let that be a subliminal, you know, the liminal spaces or the in-between spaces, a sublime thought all through this day. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. The Apostle Paul was speaking to a bunch of folks in Athens where they're just wanting to debate all kinds of ideas. And in Acts chapter 17, I think it's verses 11 and 10 and 11, he says that God's plan is for people to seek him, perhaps to reach out and to find him. For he is not far away from any of us. That's what Paul says. Now, this is the gospel of Jesus. The kingdom of God has come into the world through me. It's available to anybody. The Lord is near. Why is the Lord near? Because he loves you. How is the Lord near? Well, through beauty, through people, through thoughts of peace, through thoughts of goodness. Paul says, for he is not far from any one of us, for in him, and then he quotes one of their own thinkers, interestingly enough, not an author of the Bible. Kind of cool how Paul actually ends up in the Bible, these quotes from quite pagan folks. Epimenides might be the author of this one. For in him we live and move and have our being. The Lord is near. And then he goes on to say, as one of your own poets has said, for we are his offspring. The Lord is near. Now, how do we access the Lord? He is near to us, but we could miss it. And so, two thoughts here. One is, primarily, we access God the way that we access absolutely anything else in life, including the beauty of this place. If you're just listening, not watching, I'm near the ocean and I can hear the waves and I can see the sea and the trees and the sunlight. The only way we access anything, Dallas Willard writes, is through our mind. Our mind mediates all of reality. It all comes to us through the mind. And so what you can do today is just allow this thought, the Lord is near. Just allow it to come. The psalmist says, Psalm 16:8, I set the Lord always before me. How do I do that? Well, I just kind of program the loop. The Lord is near. In moments of beauty, in moments of joy, when I see another person, when I'm confused, when I'm upset, when I need help, when I'm angry, when I'm bored, when I'm grateful, when I'm eating, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Always. I set the Lord always before me. Paul says, he is not far from any of us. That means whoever you are, whatever you've done, me too, however badly I have failed, however much I mess up, he's not far from me. He's near. And so I just put that little subliminal thought in my mind. The Lord is near. And then one other way to access him. Moses gives this commandment to the people of Israel, and it's quoted by Paul in the book of Romans. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. This is towards the end of Deuteronomy, towards the end of Moses' time with his people. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us and we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. And Paul sees that this word is the Logos, the word Christ, who is very near right there in my heart. He's not just out there. The Lord is very near because he is closer to us than the air that we breathe. But now what that means is, not only do I set my mind, allow this thought to keep coming, the Lord is near. I also have to be aware of the fact that I will keep God away if my will wants something that God doesn't want for me. Psalm 139 is a great reflection on where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? Part of what the psalmist writes, though, is like, even if I say the darkness will hide me, the darkness will not hide me, for night is like light to you. I won't want God to be near if my will wants what I know God does not want. So then I just have a surrendered will. Today, do one thing, because God asked for it. Gordon MacDonald, wonderful writer and pastor said that Thomas Howard, another great Christian thinker, said to him one time, they were just out walking around, there's a piece of paper on the ground. He said, if you see a piece of paper littering something and you pick it up, it's an act of heaven. If you let it stay there, it's an act of hell. Always with my will, when I'm surrendering to God, it's never neutral, then I'm open to God. When I want, you know, self-promotion or to indulge resentment or ego or greed or lust or whatever that is, then I'm closing myself onto it. So today, an open mind, a surrendered will, the Lord is near. Shine.
Hey, thanks for joining us here at Become New. We hope that these teachings are helping you to grow spiritually a little bit each day. A lot of people chime in and say that they like seeing my dog in these end caps. And so, well, I tried to bring her back in, but clearly she wants to go outside. What small act of obedience can you put into practice today? I loved that teaching about surrendering your will. We would love to know what it is. What is God putting on your heart? Put it in the comments so that we can cheer you on in it. And if you want to reach out for prayer, we sincerely would love to pray for you. You can send us your personal prayer request to our text number or to our email. All that information is in the show notes. Clearly my dog needs to go out, so I better go. We love you. We're glad you're here. Go to becomenew.com if you want to find out more. See you next time.